Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't be alarmed, but I think there's a guy following you. Maybe we should get that guard dog we talked about? Nothing too scary. Maybe like a Bichon with an attitude? You know, Progressive's collision insurance covers injured dogs and cats at no extra cost, so... Wait, the guy stood up when I stood up. He's on the phone. He's looking right at me. Oh, wait, it's just my reflection. Don't tell anyone about this.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet coverage not available in New Hampshire and North Carolina.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melodies.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We are the Reigning Jays, John Corrales, Jay King, here to talk to you about one Jay Crowder and his tweet storm last night out of the blue, pissed off by some Celtics fans, Jay, and not happy about them cheering for Gordon Hayward. This podcast, by the way, brought to you today by our friends at SeatGeek, the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the games you want to see up close and in person this season. And if you are up close and in person this season, you should not cheer for any opposing small forwards.
Although it wasn't that egregious to cheer. And I will say this, there wasn't much cheering. Like, it definitely happened, but it was only during pregame introductions, and it was only like a small fraction of the fans, and it wasn't that loud. But Crowder absolutely took offense. That was like the most random, dramatic night on Twitter I can ever remember. It's funny, too, because I was just talking with one of the other Celtics reporters, Chris Forsberg, and I was telling him, I said, it's unbelievable. There has been no drama this season. Like, there hasn't been even anybody lashing out about rotations. The closest thing might have been Isaiah Thomas saying, like, we quit, and the coaching staff quit against the Warriors. But even that was, like, no big deal. Like, there's been nothing the whole season. And then, like, 2 days later, Crowder comes out of the clouds to create a completely unnecessary drama after really, like, only a few fans cheered for Gordon Hayward. And this is something that's been going on for the last couple of years. Whenever a prospective free agent target comes in, Boston has given the guy a nice ovation. And, I mean, Kevin Durant had chance at the free throw line. For whatever reason, Crowder seems to take offense to Gordon Hayward stuff. If you can remember, over the summer, like, Comcast put out a tweet saying five guys the Celtics should target, including Gordon Hayward. And he responded with, like, five sleeping face emojis. And so the Gordon Hayward thing seems to strike a chord. Maybe it's because they both play the same position and he thinks he's better than Hayward, whatever. They're just a random night on Twitter with Crowder lashing out at fans who had fired back at him.
Really? I mean, when we say lashing out, not just lashing out, the suggestion that he may be happy somewhere else or something, he's since deleted these tweets, but the whole suggestion that maybe you go back to Dallas, hey, come back to Dallas. And he was like, he retweeted it as if, hey, maybe I will. I've never seen that type of reaction. We've seen heated Jay Crowder after a loss, but I don't know, maybe the cheers that he heard earlier was what fueled that early 5-for-5 performance. I mean, he only missed the three late in the game, but he was on fire in this game. Maybe he was just trying to show people something, like, if you think Hayward's something, check me out, look how I can shoot. But I don't know, man. It came out of nowhere. I was watching the whole game. I never once thought, oh, wow, fans are really digging on Hayward. There was never anything like that going on. But he, and in all caps, just very Crowder-esque. And today, Brad Stevens had to go on the radio and address it, saying that he thinks that Crowder regrets the comments and he had an emotional reaction and he's in practice. He very much appreciates being a Celtic, but I don't know. Something stuck in his craw. I really do think you're right. There's something about Hayward because Durant is Durant. And I think most people in the NBA would be happy to play behind Durant. I don't think he's very happy about the idea of Gordon Hayward coming in and putting him on the bench.
And look, Celtics fans don't want Gordon Hayward to come in and put Jay Crowder on the bench. They want Gordon Hayward to come in and play alongside Jay Crowder. Like, that's the dream, is to have both those guys on the wing and have this big, athletic, like, playmaking with Hayward and another shot creator with Hayward. And, like, if you could put those two guys together, that would just be a monster duo. And I don't think maybe Crowder gets that. He sees Hayward as a potential replacement. And, look, we see it with Isaiah Thomas every night. Like, the chip on that guy's shoulder is real. It doesn't go away. John Wall wins Player of the Month, and Thomas gets MVP chance, and he's like, yeah, they're the only guys who like me. Meanwhile, like, everyone around the NBA is like, holy shit, Isaiah Thomas is playing unbelievable basketball right now. But to Thomas, he's like, lives in this warped world where he only sees the slights, or at least the slights hit him the hardest. And Crowder, like, similar kind of story. You know, he wasn't a highly touted recruit coming out of high school. He had to fight to make it in the NBA. It took him 3 years until he finally got a real chance at a rotation, and then he just ran with it. And now he's signed on a deal that is really screwing him when you look at it. Obviously, making $7 million a year is awesome in a vacuum, but compared to what a lot of players that aren't as talented as he is are making, $7 million is nothing. So there are a lot of reasons for him to be upset about the Gordon Hayward stuff, I guess, in his own mind. But really, Celtics fans just want more talent on this team, and they love Crowder, and they love everything Crowder brings to the table. And I think really he understands that he has been embraced by Boston, and that the Celtics have allowed him to showcase his talent, and that most fans are on his side. But when you get in that mood, Twitter trolls start firing at you. So sometimes you just fire back, man.
If you fans want to go and check out Jay Crowder and show him some love in the next game, why don't you just download the SeatGeek app now and go buy yourself some tickets, get nice and up close so you can cheer very loudly for Jay Crowder and show him that we in Boston appreciate him, love him. We're not trying to get rid of him. So download the SeatGeek app, because SeatGeek will do a lot of the legwork for you. You don't have to worry about what the most expensive ticket is. Are you getting a good deal? Are you going to the right places? Because SeatGeek aggregates everything. They search multiple ticket sites because they know prices can vary. They put everything up front. They rank everything. You get little green, yellow, red dots for each section that let you know where the good deals are. Every ticket is backed by 100% guarantee. You can just download it to your phone and show the barcode when you show up. You don't even have to print anything. And on top of everything, it's 2017. Why not get another little extra advantage? Get $20 back after your first SeatGeek purchase by using the promo code LOCeltics. Download the app. Click on the settings tab, click add a promo code, use LO Celtics. You get $20 back after you've made your first ticket purchase. So you get a good deal. It's hassle-free. Your mind is clear. You know that you will get a great seat, so you can go with maybe a sign, maybe your Jay Crowder jersey, maybe a little, you know, kind of homage to him, one of those big head things, kind of show him that we really love you in Boston, Jay. We're not trying to get rid of you. We're not trying to put you on the bench. We want to see you get your money too. So download the SeatGeek app and do that for him. I can see it from his perspective, Jay. When you're on that contract, that's one of those. Yeah. You know, when he signed the deal, he was the happiest guy in the world. But now he sees, like I said, Evan Turner gets $70 million from Portland. And he's like, whoa, that's a lot of money out there. And if they do bring in a small forward, and if they do bring in a guy that he feels like, hey, I'm at least as good as this guy. If he feels like he's going to the bench, then he feels like he's losing money. And if he feels like he's not getting the respect that he deserves, respect is big with him, then I can see him kind of flying off the handle a little bit. But I have a feeling that when he addresses the media in front of practice on Thursday, that he's going to have at least a little bit of an apologetic tone.
I wonder what the scene was like when he realized, like, ah, shit, I shouldn't have done this. like, was he in the middle of like scrolling through Twitter mentions, and then all of a sudden it hit him, like, ah, damn, like, what the hell did I just do? Or did he go to sleep and then wake up in the morning and like, whoa, last night things got a little bit out of hand. Did someone call him and be like, yo, Jay, step away from Twitter right now?
You gotta think, imagine if all of a sudden he's like just sitting there, he's like, yeah, man, screw this. And all of a sudden a text message pops up. B. Stevens, WTF. What are you doing, man?
Yeah.
You gotta think like somebody like Isaiah might have pulled him aside and be like, dude, just tone it down. What are you doing? What are you doing?
I bet teammates probably laughed at it. They were probably like, man, Jay's losing it again.
There goes Jay.
Because obviously he doesn't really think those thoughts, I don't think. Like, he has never expressed any displeasure with the Celtics before. Everything he said about the Celtics organization has been, they gave me my opportunity. Thank you, Brad Stevens, for giving me this shot. Thank you, everybody. And the Celtics fan, obviously they've embraced him because he works so damn hard, and he's kind of like this underdog with a chip on his shoulder, like a lot of the rest of the team. So I'd be surprised if anyone took it too seriously. Actually, I talked to someone in the Celtics front office last night, and he was kind of laughing about it. Just like, man, I don't know what he was doing, but I know tomorrow he's going to wake up and he's going to love the Celtics fans again. And this isn't going to matter. And so yeah. I don't think it's going to linger. Do you think it's going to linger in any fans' minds?
No. Well, I mean, a couple of people might hold on to a grudge a little bit, but that there's always going to be like a couple of people. I don't think this is going to be anything huge. Fans love him. He's the exact type of guy that fans love, generally speaking. And it wasn't, if anybody was cheering for Hayward, I think it's just because, yeah, they wanted to, he's a potential free agent, like you said earlier. They maybe want to make him feel comfortable, feel welcome. So whatever, that's fine. I think this is a Jay Crowder overreaction, which he is kind of prone to do, which personally I'm fine with. I love the fact that he's emotional, and it's not emotional in a DeMarcus Cousins sort of way. It's emotional. He's fiery. He says some things, but then he always brings it back. It's not a big deal. It always kind of resolves itself. I'd rather have a guy that's that emotional than try to draw something out like a Kelly Olynyk, where you're like, just come on, just pulling it out of him. It's impossible. I'd rather rein it in with Jay Crowder than try to constantly pull it out of somebody. So
Maybe it's time to start cheering guys on the other team every night. You know, if he's
seriously,
gonna 21 he's gonna points like on 6-for-8 shooting, 5-for-7 from deep, like. I don't know who would be on the Sixers, like little Nerlens Noel. Cheers.
Whoever he's guarding, cheer for him.
Nick Stauskas standing ovation. I don't know, man.
Sauce Castillo. Start doing that.
Yeah. I'm fully on board with the take it the other way and embrace Crowder's hatred for opposing cheers and just go nuts with it. And he'll probably average like 25 points the rest of the way, shoot 90% from the 3-point arc, and maybe make an all-star team next year.
There you go. He is part of a very nice offense. If you want to expand the conversation now, since we're here talking about the offense, offense has been looking really good. Last night, they were getting just about everything that they wanted against Utah. And, you know, for a little while, I thought Al Horford was struggling. Next thing you look up and he's shooting like 54%. And he looked great. Isaiah Thomas obviously looks great. Avery Bradley looks great. This offense throughout the season, it's kind of, I think Sam said it last night in last night's show. This season's kind of like the opposite of last, where the defense was always great and we had to wait for the offense to come along. This year, the offense, which we weren't sure about, is amazing. The offense has been great pretty much all year and it's getting better. And we're waiting for the defense to come along and start holding teams to like 80 something and 90 points.
Yeah, and to me, the biggest thing is the turnovers. And if they can start forcing turnovers again and get that defensive tenacity back, and I guess not just tenacity because some of them are tenacious, but it's in the NBA, look, you can't just force turnovers because one or two guys are making – like you have to have five guys on a string all the time, and the Celtics haven't always done that. But offensively, it's like whoa, all of a sudden this is an elite offense. Isaiah Thomas, there's not a player in the Eastern Conference playing better offensive basketball than him. At least there's not a guard. I can't say that. When LeBron James is in the East, you can't say comments like that. I'm sorry, LeBron. But there's not a guard in the East playing better offensive basketball than him. He's been outrageous. You've got Crowder, who's up to 43% from three-point shooting. Avery Bradley, who's above 40% too. And both those guys take a lot of threes. Like, that's high volume 40%. And I think a lot of that has to do with all the attention Isaiah draws, all the attention Horford draws, and the way they bend defenses. Crowder and Bradley don't really need to extend themselves too much to get good looks. And they've taken advantage of it. Those guys have both taken big steps forward shooting-wise. I mean, who could have expected Jay Crowder to become a 43% shooter? He's in the top 15 in the NBA right now. Like, this is one of the top knockdown shooters in the league. And a couple years ago, like, he was at 28, 29%. Just huge improvements from him. Huge improvements from Bradley. Their starting lineup has just been killing people. Among all lineups across the league with 200 minutes played at least, that's the third best lineup behind the Warriors starters and the Rockets starters, which those are two juggernauts. So the Celtics have just been awesome offensively, and they've been getting better lately. And ever since Marcus Smart took the reins as the power point guard for the second unit, there hasn't been a drop-off when Thomas has reached the bench. And that's been a big deal, because when they have those lulls, it's usually when Thomas is on the bench, almost always when Thomas is on the bench. And if they can score when he's out of the game and then he comes back in and does all the wild crap that he's been doing, they have the potential to be just a really, really great offense, like near the top of the league offense. Right now they're number seven. Over the last few weeks, they've been a lot better than that. So Celtics, man, all of a sudden, the team that can't score is just scorching everybody, including the Jazz, which had the number two defense entering last night. The Grizzlies, who have the top-ranked defense, they battered them twice. Like, the Celtics are doing it against top competition. It doesn't matter. Right now, they're scoring against everybody.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here. I think, you know, going back to Al Horford, he opens up a lot of things. He is passing so well for a big guy. Isaiah Thomas is passing very, very well. Like you said, Marcus Smart as the backup point guard, I think that's been a huge part of this, because it takes him, first of all, it takes him away from playing off the ball with those starters a lot more than in the past. That's been, he used to average 6 3-pointers a game. And now he's taking, ever since he's moved to the backup point guard, he's taking three. And most of those are now catch and shoot opportunities rather than those off the dribble things. So on catch and shoots, he's shooting actually pretty well. Catch and shoots from the corner, he's shooting above the league average. Marcus Smart is shooting above league average catch and shoot from the corners. So things are coming together. We don't have the Sullingers of the world in there anymore, which I hate to say. we don't. And
no Derek Lee and Jared Sullinger.
Right. And so you have to respect Al Horford on the pick and pop, which draws. You saw against the Miami game, you saw how far out Hassan Whiteside was drawn. That just gives Isaiah Thomas that much more room. And this is one of the points we were making in the Lost podcast, where people who are saying you bring in Dwight Howard versus Al Horford, that's a paint clogger. That's a guy who keeps someone near the paint. And so Horford, for whatever lack of rebounding is out there, which I agree, the Celtics rebounding could be better. The last night it wasn't a problem. He does so many things offensively, opening things up for Thomas, for Bradley, opening things up for Amir Johnson, and just passing, making the right decisions, setting good screens, making right calls on whether to roll or pop. That's a huge part of this offense. Isaiah Thomas's three-point shooting in the beginning of the year was terrible, and now it's really good. And I mean, just the team's overall three-point shooting is really good. And their philosophy of taking so many three-pointers and now shooting those three-pointers pretty well, yeah, their offense looks pretty damn good.
And you know what? I don't think Thomas gets enough credit for how good he is as a shooter, because his percentages aren't always there. But this is a 5'9" dude who's hitting 36% on 7+ threes per game. Like, he's shooting tough shots always over lengthier defenders, always with tons of defense on him. Like, you could see when he got the ball in the corner against the Jazz on that offensive rebound attempt, and he was open, and he just kind of smiled to himself like, finally, they left me. And it's like he hardly ever misses from mid-range. He has become a stupid good shooter. And I mean, if he were taller, and we say this a lot, but if he were taller and if he took easier shots, his percentages would be out of control. That guy's one of the best shooters in the league. He just doesn't quite have the percentages because of height and because of the degree of difficulty and all that. But, I mean, 90.5% from the line on 9 free throw attempts per game. He's just such a damn good shooter. And we marvel at him all the time. What else can you say about this guy? 29 points, 15 assists, and it seemed like just a regular night. Like, he had that shot that left the TV screen because it went so high, and then he had that shot past Gobert where I think he might have landed on the ground before he shot the layup, but whatever, man. Like, who cares?
Whatever.
The shit he does on a night-to-night basis is ridiculous, and he, for the last 3-4 weeks, he has just been on a different level compared to what he was before. And even last year, he was one of the better offensive guards in basketball. But this year, he's just really taken himself to another level. And the Celtics around him have all improved, too, offensively. Now, you know, you think if they can just get back to where they were defensively last season, and they showed they could do it for a stretch earlier this season, for 20 games, as Brad Stevens pointed out last night, for 20 games they were number 3 in defense. Like, there's a 20 game stretch that proved they can do it. If they can get back to that and have that top 5 defense, and now the offense is where it is, all of a sudden,
that's the whoa we were looking for at the beginning of the year, that if this defense can be elite like we know it can.
But look, they have to do it right now. They're 17th, I think, in defense. They haven't done it yet. They have to show that they can do it and that they don't let up, because even with scoring so many buckets lately, like, the defense has slipped. They have to be able to keep that defensive mentality while they get all the buckets.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's obvious. The Miami game, I think, was indicative of that, where they just kept giving up buckets to Miami, and Isaiah Thomas needed to score 29 points in one quarter, the fourth quarter, to finally put them away. And even last night against the Jazz, they held them off. I mean, I don't think there was ever much doubt, but because of the way the Celtics have collapsed or let teams kind of hang around, when Joe Johnson started going off, I started getting that feeling of like, oh boy, here we go again, because we know that they are prone to this. So yes, they do have to do it, but we also know they're capable of it. Remember, at the beginning of the year, they were one of the, what, bottom three? They were down to, what, 27th, 28th in defense? So now to be up above 20th, that shows how good it has been in some stretches and how good it can be. So, yeah, they have to do it. Part of doing it is being healthy. And now, again, we keep saying it, but this January schedule is really going to be a big help because the competition isn't the type of competition necessarily that they faced in December. And even in December, their rankings rose a bit. They have a chance with rest, with home, with a nice home schedule and lesser competition to kind of level off some of the extremes that they've given up. So I think ultimately the Celtics team can get to where we thought they were. And as Sam mentioned last night, the Celtics schedule and the Raptors schedule are lining up. As, so in a week, next Tuesday, we could be looking at a game that puts one of these teams alone in second place. So it could be a battle, an early battle for the second seed, which is right where we thought the Celtics would be. That they're not as good as Cleveland. They're right there with Toronto. And here we are.
I'm not sure they've been right there with Toronto so far. Toronto has been on another level.
Not yet, but Toronto, you can say Toronto's been on another level, which is true. They're kind of coming back down to earth, though. The Celtics started off really slow, and they're on the rise. And again, the Celtics and Raptors could play on Tuesday with identical records or close to identical records. It could put the Celtics into the second seed. So say what we want, but a week from today, the Celtics could be the second seed and Toronto could be the third seed.
Boom. Boom. I mean, got to make up 2.5 games first, but the Celtics schedule is favorable. And they're playing good ball, man. Eight wins in the last 10 games. Isaiah Thomas. Woo! and right now, so much shooting around him. They've been fun to watch lately, man.
It's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun. And hopefully, it's going to be more fun on the court and not so much craziness off the court. We'll see what Jay Crowder has to say in the Thursday practice. I'm sure he'll apologize or at least soften things up. We'll see.
One more thing on Crowder before we stop. He's like perilously close right now to a 50-40-90 season, which has only been done like, I don't know, 10-ish times in NBA history. He's shooting 48.8% from the field, 43% from three, and 87.9% from the free throw line. Like, he is within shouting distance of a 50-40-90 season. Like, that, he became a knockdown shooter all of a sudden. And I'd like to see him get more free throws. I'd like to see him get to the paint more often like he did last year. I still don't know whether his ankles are bothering him a little bit or what it is. It seems like he's a little bit hesitant to go to the hoop compared to what he did last season. But how can you complain when he's knocking down shots at such an efficient rate and scoring so efficiently? And the Celtics, when he's been on the court, have just been awesome. So,
okay. I hope he continues.
40-90, maybe within reach, maybe.
I feel like this is kind of like the May Triple Crown watch story in baseball. Let's let this get a little bit further on. Let's at least get past the All-Star break, but doesn't take away from the fact that he's shooting.
I mean, they're almost halfway through the season.
Almost. Yeah. Look, he's shooting amazing. It's amazing what he's doing out there. No one thought he's going to do this. I feel like maybe there might be a little bit of a regression to the mean, but still, even if he ends up regressing down to 38% shooting from three, that's still so much better than we expected. We were hoping that he would be a league average shooter, and now here he is, top 15 in the NBA. So I'll take it, and I hope you're right. I hope this is something up. This is the beginning of 50-40-90 watch for Jay Crowder.
There you go, 50-40-90 watch.
Get your tickets to watch Mr. 50-40-90 and cheer for him, make him feel better using the SeatGeek app. Download the SeatGeek app today. Use the promo code LOCELTICS. You're going to get $20 back after your first ticket purchase. All right. Remember, rate us 5 stars on iTunes, please. That makes us feel real good. It's 2017. We're in this is a make each other feel good type of year. 2016 sucks. So make us feel good. Give us 5 stars. Subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. Check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network, the Locked On NBA show, our friends at Locked On Fantasy. And again, my friend Jeff Garcia had a great interview with Craig Sager Jr. on the Locked On Spurs podcast. If you haven't listened to that, check that out. Okay, that's it. Let's make Jay Crowder feel better. Go for it. cheer for him.
Or get him pissed off, man.
Or get him pissed off. Cheer for the other team. Cheer for the other team's small forward. Maybe he'll start shooting 90% from three.
I'm telling you, Stauskas chance Friday night.
That would be amazing. The Stauskas Theo chance. Let's do it, folks. All right, that's it. Thanks for listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.
The new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.